Amen to that. There's going to come a day when it's even in Scripture, the book of Revelation, that everybody who's been created, past, present, and future, will bow the knee before an almighty God. I'm going to say this. I'd hate to do it because I'm being told to do it. What do you mean by that? When you're being told to do something, it means you don't want to do it to begin with. Amen? There's going to come a day where there's going to be thousands, if not millions of people who are going to bow the knee because they're being told to, not something that they really want to do, but it's in recognition of submission because they realize they have been defeated. And that's a sad state for some people to be in. Why is that? Because on that day will be a day when they will be eternally separated from God. Which is why I'd rather stand before God and bow the knee willingly because of something that has taken place in my life. And that's called salvation. Amen? We forget about that so often. Because we live our lives, we go about it day by day, and we're looking forward to the things that's going to come up, and we anticipate everything like I was talking about in Sunday school. But I believe we as believers, we fail to recognize that we will bow the knee. Can you get that picture in your mind? And I'm not just talking about getting down and just bowing a knee. I mean, we're literally standing before the God who created this world, who spoke everything into existence. The God that realistically didn't need to have anybody because he had everything. But a God that gave us his precious Son. His precious child. Think about that. Zane, come here. I want to use you for a little bit. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want to do that. Zane's my little buddy. I love Zane. He's a great kid. But I want you to think about this. Look at this young man right here. Because there was a point in time where Jesus looked like this. Came into this world as an infant. As a baby, for one purpose, to die for you, so that you can have eternal life, so that one day that you will accept his plan of salvation. A young man like this, how old are you, Zane?
Seven.
7 years old. Think about that. Add 6 more years to that, he'd be 12, if I did 13. And that would be about the age of Jesus as he's standing before the rabbis and teaching them. What was he teaching them? About his Father. You can sit down, Zane. What's so important about that? Because there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. See, on the 25th of April of 1986, I had no clue what they were singing this morning. I suggested it last week when I heard them practicing the song, but they came here yesterday and they went through some other songs, and this wasn't the one that I was going to hear this morning because they had some other songs, but come to find out that this is what they had. They went through many other songs. They couldn't get away from the song. But on April 25th of 1986, there was a point in time in my life where I finally had to realize, Ron, that this needed to take place in my life, and that is this. There are two times, I believe, that you're going to bow your knee before God. And I bowed my knee, and I asked Christ to dwell in my heart. See, why am I parking here on this? Because I honestly believe there are people in here this morning. It doesn't matter what side of the church you come from. It doesn't matter what type of background you come from. Because we're all born into religion. But I honestly believe, and I don't know who it is, but our God, the Holy Spirit, knows who it is. But I believe that there's somebody here this morning that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I don't want anybody to walk out these doors rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and go to hell for eternity. Even though you've heard the truth, you got to do something with that truth. You got to come to a point in time in your life, and I see these young people that are up here, and they got so much ahead of them. You and I that are older, we look back, and man, I wish I was their age again, because I would go back and I would want to redo some things in my life. We've all been there. But they have so much ahead of them. And I would hate to see any of these young people go out into eternity rejecting the teachings of Jesus Christ. I'd rather see them come to an age when they're young and they bow the knee and say, God, I need you. But there are some here that are my age, maybe older, I don't know, that have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I will tell you this, as I just said a few moments ago, there will come a time, mark it down, it will come a time, history will prove it, you will stand before God and you'll bow the knee. But there's a difference between me and you. That difference is this. I'm going to be able to bow the knee to my King, to the one that I have accepted. You might bow a knee to the King that you've heard about and never accepted. And I would hate for anybody to walk out of here and reject that in their life. Which brings me realistically to the next point that I really want to deal with this morning, and that's found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. All that stuff that you just heard was all free. And it's important as you get into God's Word, you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your thoughts. You allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your speech, because not everything goes according as planned. None of this was planned this morning. But I do want to be obedient to my God when He's speaking to me. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 this morning, we will continue our series that we've been going through these last couple of weeks. And this might be extended. I don't know. I haven't gotten peace about this just yet. But the thought and the question I'm going to ask you this morning is this. Who are you? We started that out 3 weeks ago. Who are you? And we're going to probably end it sometime. And here's the other thought to this. Who are you in Christ? Because you and I are somebody in Christ if we've accepted Him. Amen? Now, if you haven't accepted Him, then you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. You're going to want to wish that you were part of this. But who are you in Christ? Verse number 17 is the verse that we've been reading the last several weeks, and we'll read this again. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let us pray. Lord, again, we are grateful that we are able to be here this morning. I thank you again for your people who have come out to hear your word. Lord, I know it's cold for some. I know the weather's not the greatest, but God, I thank you for their safety. I thank you for their faithfulness as well. Lord, I pray as we go through your word this morning, I pray that you speak and minister to every heart that is here. I think of these young children that are up here this morning, that are growing up into young men and young women. Lord, I pray that you would begin to minister to their hearts as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. to answer this question is, who are you in Christ? And that is this, and it's found in verse number 17, and that is this. You and I, if we have Jesus in our life, we are a new creature. But it doesn't stop there this morning, because I'm going to share several passages of Scripture with you this morning to help you see who you are in Christ. And to be honest with you, I'm just going to let Scripture speak for itself. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2 this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. And we will begin reading in verse number 10 this morning. And this is going to help us show us what else we are in Christ. Amen. Verse number 10, it says this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You and I this morning are created in Christ, which makes us his workmanship. We are a piece of his, if you want to put it in these terms, we are a piece of his art. We are a piece of his glory. We are a piece of his outcome of what he has created this morning. So we are his workmanship. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 15 this morning. Book of John, chapter number 15. We're going to see a few things that we are also in Christ in this chapter, and that will be found in verse number 5 this morning. And it says this, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get there. I'll try to speak a little bit slower for you. But I will remind you, I have a lot to get through this morning. But if I don't, that's okay. It says in verse number 5, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." The first thing I want us to look at here is this. You and I, because of us being branches in him, you and I are made whole. Well, how are you and I made whole? It comes through this. It comes through his forgiveness. Now, because of that, we are now a part of the vine. We are a part of the body of Christ. Amen to that. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6 this morning. If you're not very skilled and very knowledgeable where the books of the Bible are this morning, go ahead and turn to the front part of your Bible, and it will give you all the places where the Bible's at. Don't be ashamed of that. I would encourage you to do that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read in verse number 19. Before I begin reading this, so often you and I have this confusion about us, and that is this. You and I think we are our own. But Scripture will tell us otherwise, because we are somebody now in Christ. Amen to that? So let's read verse number 19. It says this. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Folks, you and I were not our own this morning, but now we are a part of Jesus. Amen? The body that we have now is now the temple of the Lord. And so, because it's the temple of the Lord, it is now our responsibility, it is our duty as a believer to present our bodies holy, as we went through this last week, to who? Unto the Lord, to Christ. Why? Because the temple, it's not ours, it's his. And so now it's up to us to take care of that properly. Well, how do we take care of that properly? Well, get your direction from the Word of God. It'll tell you how to take care of the temple that God has given you. I'm going to show you a few other verses that what we are in Christ, and we're going to turn to John chapter number 1 this morning. John chapter number 1. And you know me, folks, I'm not the one that usually uses a lot of scripture. I like to stay in one particular part when I'm there. But there are some times where you got to break loose of what you've been doing and get into more scripture. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Amen to that. So John chapter number 1, we're going to read in verse number 12 this morning. And this is encouraging to me because I'm finding out that I am somebody in Christ. That's the whole goal of this morning, because so many people walk around this world and I don't know who I am. I got to find out who I am and things of that nature. Well, you don't have to ask for see those. You don't have to. You can know those things. Excuse me. You can know those things because of who you are in Christ. Verse number 12 says this. It says, "But as many as received him," going back to what I talked about earlier, in order to bow your knee willfully before God, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to receive him. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," for what? "To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Today, who am I? I am a son of God. That's who I am in Christ. And I realize, and I've come to this understanding, not everybody in here this morning knows of this. Not everybody in here this morning believes this. And I'm trying to get you to a point where you need to believe this in your life. So now, because of this verse here, I recognize that I'm something else in Christ, not just his workmanship. I'm not just a part of his body, but I am now his son. Being his son means I have ownership. I belong to the king. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John this morning. The book of 1 John, we'll read verses, chapter number 3, we'll read verses 1 through 3. And if your fingers get tired this morning, and I understand you don't want to turn, then I just encourage you to pay close attention to what's being said this morning. 1 John chapter 3, we'll read verse 1 through 3. It says this. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Are you not glad that Scripture backs up this morning that you are a child of God? See, you are somebody this morning, but we don't live our lives that way on a majority of our times. You and I are not just somebody in Christ. We are sons and we are daughters in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we'll read verse number 27 out of this passage here this morning. Says this, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Isn't this exciting this morning? We are somebody in Christ. But there are folks that don't know who or what they can be in Christ because they haven't accepted him just yet in their life. I am his son. I have been adopted into his family. By the way, this morning, if you're adopted into your family this morning, you should take great pride in that. You really should. Because all of us in here this morning that have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is adopted into Christ Jesus. Guess where that term came from this morning? The term adopted came from the Word of God. It is a good term to have. As we continue to go on here this morning, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 8. The book of Romans chapter number 8. And we'll see some more things here this morning. I hope that this is an encouragement to you. Because now that we are somebody in Christ, you and I, we have a purpose. We have a purpose. Verse number 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." See, now that we are figuring out that we are somebody in Christ, now that we know that we are his workmanship, now that we know our body's the temple, it's his, now that we know that we're his sons, we're his daughters, guess what? Guess what comes next? You and I have a purpose. Going back to what I said in our Sunday school hour, you and I are not called just to sit on the church pews. We might think that, but that is not right. You and I have a purpose in our life for him. And he's revealed that purpose, and I'm not kidding you, he's revealed that to every single one of us, but we put blinders over our eyes, we put earplugs in our ears, and we ignore the purpose that God has for us. Now, not all are guilty, but many are guilty in this area. We have a purpose. Go ahead and continue reading verse number 39 of chapter number 8 of Romans. It says this. It says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." Let me see if I'm in the right chapter here. I am. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are more in Christ, and that is this. You are loved. You are loved. A love that you and I cannot comprehend this morning. You know, we use the word flippantly, don't we? Oh, I love this TV show. Oh, I love this food. Think about the word love. There should be meaning behind it. Because in John chapter 3, verse number 16, it says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." See, love is an act of giving. Love is an act of sacrificing something for others. But we use the word, "I love this food, I love this outfit, I love this car." Folks, that's not love. That's infatuation. We are loved. And the great thing about this love is this. Because as that song was sung this morning, there will be a day when everybody will bow their knee before God. Here's the great thing about this love that you and I now have. On that day, you and I, because of his love, will never, ever be separated from him. Folks, that's exciting. That's something to shout about. That's something to say amen in church about. That's something just to shout hallelujah. Because you and I, we cannot escape his love. But there's going to come a day when other knees are going to bow before God. And guess what God's going to say? He's going to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." But because of our faith in him, now we have love that's eternal. What a great thing for us to experience. We'll never be separated from his love. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 2 this morning. Galatians chapter number 2, we'll read in verse number 20. We're going to find out what else we are in Christ, and I want you to look for the word here. Verse number 20 says this, says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What's this verse signify? What are we in Christ? You and I need to jump up and down about this because you and I are alive in Christ. Hallelujah to that. Go back to Romans chapter number 6, if you would, continuing on this same theme. You say, "Chad, we've already been in Romans 5,000 times this morning." That's okay. We have another 5,000 more to go. But I'm just kidding, folks. Verse number 6 of chapter 6 of Romans says this, says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What's that saying? Our old man, because we've accepted Christ, our old man is now what? Dead. It is now dead, okay? So it's crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Why shouldn't we serve sin? Because now we are made what? Alive in him. We're made alive in him. That's exciting news to be thinking about that stuff. Why are we alive in him? Well, because we have been crucified in Christ. Go ahead and turn your Bibles again to the book of Ephesians this morning. You all are going to be scholars of the New Testament where everything is at this morning. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse number 7, I want us to see what else we are in Christ. It says in verse number 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What else are we in Christ? We're redeemed. We're forgiven. But again, I have to remind you, as God is telling me over and over again, Chad, there's somebody in this church that has not been forgiven because they have not sought my forgiveness. I have paid the price for them, but they're not accepting it just yet. Folks, can I say something as blunt as I can say it? Going to church does not get you saved. Being born into a believer's household does not mean that you're saved. I can't be more clear on that than I am right now. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We have been recipients of his grace. And I'm going to say something that might offend some folks around here. But please pay attention to this. Some of you folks don't live in the grace of God. You're living according to your rules, your standards, and your convictions when you're rejecting the grace of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of John again, chapter number 15. Book of John, chapter number 15 this morning. And if you're alive here this morning, say amen. Thank you. Verse number 15 through verse number 16. This is an important picture that I want you to see here. Because we have more in Christ than what we realize. Verse number 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But what's it say here? It says, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What else are we in Christ? We are his friends. There's one particular scripture that I'm really fond of, and that is this. It's talking about Abraham, and it goes something like this. Abraham was considered what? A friend of God. A friend of God. Well, how do you become friends? Well, it comes through having a relationship with Jesus. Some are probably not even seeking a relationship with Christ this morning, and so therefore, you don't have the status of being a friend. We have some other things that we are in Christ, and I want you to turn back to the book of Romans, chapter number 8 this morning. And we're winding down here this morning. Please don't worry about time this morning. Please don't worry about your crock pot or anything like that. I really want you to be focused on the message right here, right now. Verse number 14, the book of Romans, chapter number 8, we're going to read down through verse number 17. It says this, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, that's a reiteration that we found in the book of John, that we are the sons of God. Verse number 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. There's that word adoption again. Those who have been adopted, man, cling to this. You know, adoption gives you more rights than the actual blood family. I want you to think about that. You have just as much right as the blood relative. Why? Because you've been brought in. They're saying, hey, I want you. I love that word adoption. You have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, there's so much that I can camp on here in these four verses here, but now I want us to be shown something else of what we are in Christ, and now, because we are his, now we are able to be led by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now has the ability to lead us. But here's the sad thing about that. Because you and I were created with a free will, free choice. Even though that we've accepted Christ our Lord and Savior, we can still say no to his leadership in our life. I tell you what, that's a very scary place to be in. I've seen results of people saying no to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But now we're able to be led by the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's a great place to be in. You know, I've heard many conversations throughout the weeks, throughout the months, and they say, man, sometimes I just don't know what to do, but just give it to the Lord. You know what that's saying? That's saying, Holy Spirit, lead me. That's what that's saying. Let's continue on here this morning. Go back to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 this morning. Book of Colossians, chapter number 3 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. Go ahead and turn back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. And it says this, since hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that unto yourself, it is the gift of God. Here is the incredible thing that I want us to see this morning as we continue to find out who we are in Christ, and that is this. You and I are risen in Christ. We were dead, we become alive, and now we are risen. What a great picture to have there. I got two more scriptures that I want us to go to this morning. Go ahead and keep your finger in Colossians chapter number 2, but I want you to turn back to Romans chapter 8 one final time this morning. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 37 here, verse number 37. And that is this. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What else are we in Christ this morning? Again, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is not you. This is what you're missing out on. And I want to clarify that. I want you to be known of that. So what else are we in Christ? You and I are victorious. We are not defeated. So stop walking around acting as if you're defeated. We have won the battle. Why have we won the battle? Because we are conquerors. Why are we conquerors? Because we were once dead, we are alive, we are risen, we're sons of God, and we are overcomers, and we're not defeated. You know who's defeated? The ones who have not accepted him. You're really trying to drive a point home this morning. Yes, I am. Finally, I want you to see something that's found in the book of Colossians that was a blessing to me. And I'll close with this. And it's important for me to close with this. Verse number 10 says this, "And ye are complete in" who? "In him, which is the head of all principality and power." Who are we in Christ? Well, let's go through this picture again. We were dead. But now that we've accepted him, we were made alive. We were risen. We became the sons of God. We're conquerors. We're not defeated. And we are complete in him. Now, there are some here this morning. Again, I don't know who it is. It's not important for me to know. It's not important for you to know. But God knows who is not complete in him. Maybe because they're trying their own way of salvation. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Scripture says that. Folks, if you are trying to figure out who you are in Christ, maybe it's because you never really come to that point in life and say, "Man, I'm nobody in Christ because I haven't accepted him." I want you to walk out these doors this morning saying, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am now alive. I am now risen. I am now complete in him." And if that's you this morning, do me a favor. Come talk to me. And we'll help you with that matter. Amen? You can become somebody in Christ. So that being said this morning, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to pray. And then when I get done praying, I'm doing something different again. Jeff's going to come up here. He's going to lead us in a song of dismissal. If God's spoken to your heart, I'm going to be back there. You can shake my hand and you can say, "Chad, I need what you're talking about." And I will gladly walk away from everybody that's walking out these doors and I will help you to the best of my ability. But I'm going to say this. I will not force salvation on anybody. I will not force it. You have to want it. Because if I force it, if I make you say a prayer, if I make you do this, it's not Spirit-led, it's Chad Springer-led. So let's pray. I'm going to have Jeff come up, and I'm going to go back. Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us. If there's somebody here this morning that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just bring deep conviction to whoever it may be. Lord, I'm not saying this to be mean or to be hateful. I'm saying this out of love. God, I pray that you would give them unrest in their life until they come to accept you as Lord and Savior. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.